Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This is Merrick Larwood.
I don't like this bit.
Okay, rebrand it now. You give me a script. What do you want me to say?
Maybe you just go, my name's David Reed. And my name is Merrick Larwood.
Would it not get a bit synchronous talking, a bit like a boy band? And this is film. That would get a bit...
As I was walking to your house to do this podcast,
yeah,
I walked past a One Direction advert, and I let out a big sigh of, why is everyone interested in just 19-year-olds? And not... I want to watch adults on television.
Yes.
And hear adults talk.
Yes. Aren't they targeted at teenagers, though?
Well, I don't... this is a film podcast.
You brought it up. Do you want to be introduced?
I don't know. I want next time for you to think of something different.
Oh, fine. Okay. Well, next time. Not this time.
Welcome, listeners. New and old.
New and old. Ugly and pretty.
Listeners from places like Canada, Ireland...
Beirut.
Singapore. I looked on a map of where all listeners are from around the world.
Is it telling that the countries we have no listeners in are the ones I care about the most?
Like what?
I think still North Korea. I don't think we've got anyone in Iraq.
There have been occasional downloads from Iraq, yeah.
Iran?
I think it was by accident. Our most popular places are, of course, the UK.
And America.
Ireland, America, and I think...
Australia's all right.
Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah. You know, so, the English-speaking world.
Yeah. That's all I'm aiming for, is just the Nordic countries and in the Northern Hemisphere.
I'm part Norwegian. It'd be nice to have a home crowd back there.
Oh. I am part Dutch.
Hmm.
Which explains why I'm an arsehole.
Right, well, we've been to the cinema this week, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. We didn't go together. We have never been to together to cinema.
We haven't. That's true. We'll have to do that next year sometime.
Yeah, every time next year.
Yeah.
You can witness my not me able to last a whole film not going to the toilet unless it's got pornographic content.
Oh, God, he's off again.
Anyway, what film did you go and see?
I went to see... Well, I tried to go and see Frozen... As we're in the lead up to Christmas, I guess you call it, and I really liked Tangled. I was surprised to like Tangled, but Tangled was excellent, and this is the same people. I got the times wrong at the cinema, or Google did. I'm not really sure. But it wasn't on for another 2 hours, and I didn't have time. So, knowing nothing about it at all, I went to see Nebraska.
I've heard good things about it.
It's got good reviews. It's a film by Alexander Payne. I think is the director's name, and he did Sideways and The Descendants and other things
I've
as well.
I've seen Sideways. It's about wine, isn't it?
It is about wine, yes. Sideways caused the sale of Merlot to go down enormously in America.
Merlot,
they call it in Sideways.
Merlot. Go down?
Because he says, and here's our explicit rating coming, he says, if they serve fucking Merlot, I'm leaving.
Oh, okay.
And everyone was like, oh, Merlot must not be very good then. No, we shouldn't order that. But anyway, Nebraska. It's stars Will Forte, I think it's pronounced, or Fort, I don't know. You may know him from MacGruber Saturday Night Live, or he plays Jenna Maroney's boyfriend in 30 Rock as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically him and his dad, played by Bruce Dern, who's a really old guy, got Alzheimer's, has been an alcoholic his whole life. And he gets one of these things through the post that says, you've won £1 million if you subscribe to this magazine. One of those phishing things. But in his sort of dodgy old state, he thinks he has won $1 million and has to go to Lincoln, Nebraska to pick it up. And that's like 800 miles away or something. But he keeps getting picked up on the highway where he's just walking there.
So it's like a road trip story.
It is, because his son, David, keeps having to go and pick him up, and his mum's getting out of her mind. She can't look after him anymore, where he just keeps wandering off. So he indulges this fantasy and takes him on a trip to Nebraska. But it involves going through the town he grew up in on the way.
Oh, so he's almost revisiting his past.
Yes, he is. Very much so.
I have to quickly say, I'm sitting on a wicker chair, so it's difficult. If you hear odd noises, it's not Buddy in the background, because we're in a different room today. It's the wicker chair, so I'm trying to sit very still.
Is it... It's unsettling you.
They're very noisy, aren't they?
They are quite noisy. I'm in a swivel chair, a sort of Blofeld.
They should have wicker chairs in prisons, so they could hear when the what the prisoners were up to.
Also, it would hurt less if a guard got hit with one.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the film.
Yeah.
This I've seen the trailer, and it's is it like I couldn't work out what
it was.
Black
and white.
Yeah, that was a big. It's quite odd to have a film in black and white. Why was that? Because in digital, you don't really need to do black and white anymore.
Well, exactly. It's Alexander Payne's first film using digital cameras as well, I'm led to believe. Which is odd that he's gone for black and white, but he has done. I don't know why. It's contemporary. It's set now. It's, you know, it works. It's not distracting, but...
Does it bring anything to the film? Or is it just...
I wouldn't say so, but
okay.
You know, I don't know. I don't know why everything would have to be in colour though either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not thought about it enough. I literally saw it an hour ago. So, yeah. No, I don't know what the reason for that was. There's a villain in it who I've liked in stuff before. He's a real crotchety old man with a twinkle in his eye and a scar on his top lip. He plays the old evil guy in American History X. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
The guy who's recruiting all of these young kids to the white supremacist cause.
Okay.
His name is Stacey Keach, I believe.
That's a good name.
It's a great name.
Is it a comedy then, or is it just a sort of whimsical film?
It's got a lot of funny things in it. I mean, there's a lot of sort of... there's a lot of old people say the funniest things about it. But it does work. You know, it is funny, but I don't think it's perfect. The script was probably a little too ham-fisted at times for me.
Okay.
Or the direction, or the actors weren't hiding the obviousness of the script sometimes. At times it's sublime, and at others it seems a bit eggy.
Why should I go and see this film? Who's it for?
I don't know. I think it's for... It's very evocative on, you know, the themes of living your entire life and then slowly sort of losing it. Losing track of why you did anything in the first place, as well as losing your memory.
I
you
feel
know
that now, I'm only 37.
Well, then I think this might help you.
What, there's some sort of solution there?
I'm not saying that, no, it's not like that, but it's certainly uplifting ending, yes. It's not a bleak film.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It's got Bob... Odenkirk, is he called? Bob Odenkirk, yeah, who is in Breaking Bad. He plays Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad.
When I see him playing Saul Goodman,
yeah,
I know we're talking about Breaking Bad, we shouldn't talk about TV things, but
well, he's
everyone watches. Someone wrote in saying about Breaking Bad. About
someone asked us if we were going to review it, in fact.
Yes, it is. Andrew Cooper wrote in saying, "Hello, chaps. Some people are saying that TV series like Breaking Bad are better than films. Here's someone saying it in The Guardian." They put a link to something there. I shouldn't really read that out. "As I listen to you both, America's deeply annoying neighbours. This is when we recorded my house and there was building downstairs.
That's right.
On the podcast just now, while manufacturing crystal meth in my motorhome deep in the Berkshire countryside, I wondered whether you might consider reviewing one of my favourite drama series, Breaking Bad. The series production values were just one of its highlights, and I think it deserves to be considered at least on the par with feature films. Keep up the good work, Pip Pip. I'm just seeing a picture of him next to his thing, and he actually looks like quite a sophisticated man in his, do your in research. His 40s. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, we're not going to start reviewing telly just for the sheer amount of effort it would take.
My first point, was when I watched Breaking Bad,
yes.
And saw, and I think a lot of people will have seen it, Saul Goodman. I was intrigued because I hadn't seen him before anything.
Yes.
How much of him was his personality, you know some actors.
Oh yeah. It's clearly a character he's doing. I mean, he is different in Nebraska. He's a comedy guy as well. He wrote Mr. Show with David Cross.
Oh, okay.
And I forget the other guy's names. Starburns from Community. Anyway, he's interestingly as well in Nebraska. They were originally going to cast Bryan Cranston in the lead role and decided he wasn't right for the part, so cast MacGruber instead, Will Forte, which is quite interesting. But the two of them would have been in it together.
Bryan Cranston doesn't need to do anything ever again.
No, he doesn't. He's going to be in these bloody superhero things, though. He's going to play Lex Luthor. Sorry.
Going back to
point,
Andrew Cooper's question about reviewing Breaking Bad. Whether it is, is
production values of television are now good enough for them to be rivaling films? And I've from what I've read, it seems to be a popular topic in the media that it's rattling the movie industry a bit, that they feel they've now got to compete or they've got to find something else to do because the stories are much longer on TV as well, so
yeah.
You can really invest in the characters on TV far more because you're watching hours at a time rather than 90 minutes. I still think event storytelling is still going. It's still going to have a place. It's going to survive. I don't see Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and all of these things killing cinema.
I think Breaking Bad is an exception to the rule from my pop because it was, from my opinion, I agree with all what you said because it had a finite ending and it feels it was where a lot of things I've watched like Dexter, Prison Break, Lost, they feel
they don't know where they're heading. And if you watch the interviews or read about it, they left it completely open because they wanted if people were prepared to recommission it for another series, they could get it. And so they just keep throwing up questions that they don't know the answer to. And it means that they're just heading for a brick wall, ultimately.
Yeah, so I respect find those rewarding, yeah.
Picking a finite end to your story and knowing where it's going so much. I'm still 3 episodes off the end of Breaking Bad. So,
are you?
Yeah, I was watching more of it today. It's very exciting. But soon I will be immune to spoilers, which will be good.
But I think Breaking Bad is the best ever thing on television. Talk about that.
Well, I agree. They're, we've reviewed it now.
Yeah. but it's interesting seeing the other the people from Breaking Bad will start to appear in more and more films.
Well,
now.
It's amazing, isn't it? There used to be this great stigma and divide between if you're a TV actor, then it was very hard to break into films, and once you're in films, you stayed there. Whereas there's far more fluidity now, and big stars can be made on the small screen as well. You know, I think Alec Baldwin was probably lucky enough for the transition was whilst he was doing 30 Rock and suddenly he started being respected as a brilliant actor again rather than being, God, he's fallen on hard times being in a TV show. But then, you know, Steve Buscemi will do Boardwalk Empire and, Dennis Hopper, I guess, went and did 24 and stuff. So it's interesting.
Yeah, there seem to be sort of quite high, classy TV series which had the same sort of feel as films.
Mm. With good writers, you know, really, really tightly written episodes. I mean, 24 probably started the ball rolling with that style of crack cocaine style television where every advert break has a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And every episode has an incredible twist.
Yeah.
Just because you have to consume more. But I think Prison Break was exactly like that as well. But again, after the first series. The first series I really liked because it had a finite end, and then it just got this sort of mess that just keeps going, yeah. And you get bored eventually.
Well, back to Nebraska.
Nebraska. Yes, it's very sweet. It's very sort of heartfelt and funny and witty, and, you know, it's sort of lovely. It bothered me for a long old time. Like, for the first 40 minutes, probably, I couldn't work out whether I thought this was terrible.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it was something to do with the directing, the writing, and the acting style that was just missing something for me. It didn't feel like it was creating a world that I could believe in.
So you didn't get ever properly engrossed in it?
No, they didn't grab me from the off. And I don't mean it had to be, you know, high energy or explosions or anything. It was because there was something. It was intimate, but it felt performed about it. But by the end, you know, the halfway point or whatever, I was properly into it and enjoying it. And
is it really long?
No, it's like 2 hours. Hours, 5 minutes or something.
Because I read this is on the American Film Institute brought out their list of the top 10 films 2013. And this is on there.
Really?
Yeah, and it's on Metacritic, I think, have given it, which is the sort of where they... you talked about it before, a website where it's on IMDb, Nick's the ratings. Yeah.
The review aggregator, I think.
Yeah. That's giving it like 85, really high mark.
Yeah.
Would it be in your top 10 films of the year, David?
I'm hard-pressed to remember films I've seen this year, but it might well be. It might well be, but I think it's been fairly slim pickings.
They're just starting to come out now, the good films, I think.
Yeah.
The last few weeks.
Yeah.
So, how many Davids would you give it?
Tricky. I think I'd probably give it 6.5.
When do these half measures come in?
You brought them in.
When did I bring the halves in?
I think you gave something 9.5 or something to make a point that it didn't get 10. I might be wrong about that.
Well, if you know, if anyone has evidence of me giving half marks, please write in. Where do they write to?
They can email us, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or write on our Facebook wall, /filmfandango, or tweet us, @filmfandango.
That's quite a lot of ways to get hold of us.
Yep, no excuse. No excuse.
We've had another letter in, shall we go?
Of course.
Have you finished talking?
Yeah, I've finished talking.
I feel like I didn't let you talk. I feel like I just did it into Breaking Bad rather
That's
than...
quite all right. That's quite all right. It's a film I've enjoyed that, you know, that sort of you have to let it speak for itself in a way. You know, I enjoyed it. I'd recommend people see it. I don't know how cinematic it is. I don't think you have to see it in the cinema. Okay. But I'd track it down when it was on TV or Netflix or whatever.
I was put off by the trailer.
I didn't see the trailer, so I can't comment. But
just as I was put off by the trailer to the film I am going to talk about in a minute.
Intriguing. Very intriguing.
That's what you can do. What I'm doing
is that what you do?
Is just planting seeds of suspense.
Yeah.
So even if the listener's bored, it's like what X Factor and all the programmes do. They put fake suspense things in there so people go, what film did Marek go and see at the cinema?
That's good, isn't it?
I hate this podcast, but I need to find out what film.
But
I
also,
hate them.
For people who just jump to this bit, we should probably do regular previously on Film Fandangos and say what we just did as well to stall longer before you release that information.
Yeah. There's so many things you can do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what Misha Anker's done.
What's she done?
She's written us an email.
Good on her.
How about you read it out?
Right, what voice?
She says regional. It says at the end of it, regional RP. What region?
Regional RP. That doesn't exist. RP is received pronunciation.
Do that then.
I'll do it posh.
Do it old fashioned BBC, the very first broadcast at Alexander Palace.
Very well. Hello, David, Merrick, and Buddy. I just want to assure you that Chris isn't the only listener. I just couldn't think of anything to write in about. I have, however, had a thought. What are your favourite films adapted from the stage? Mine is The History Boys. It makes me cry every time. For what it's worth, my accent is a sort of regional RP. BBC regional, as my better half calls it. Love, Misha. Sent from my iPhone. Show off.
That says it automatically. She didn't write that. You know that.
Yeah, I do know that, yeah. like the idea someone would purposely write that at the end of all their emails.
Yeah, you have to say what computer you've
sent from my iPhone.
Sent from my Atari ST, circa 1984.
People in the olden days used to write "written with a fountain pen" at the end. End of letters.
I'm going to start writing "sent from something else" on the bottom
of my
email.
You can change it in settings. So, to answer Misha's question, favourite films adapted from plays. Do you go to the theatre much?
I hate it.
You hate the theatre?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen anything I've really enjoyed. I saw One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
The Steppenwolf adaptation with Gary Sinise in it and all the famous people.
Right.
The film's just much better. I much prefer a film with a medium. Theatre is overpriced. And also, I can't say it properly.
That does... Film. You can say film. Film.
Just about,
it's really easy.
How do you say it? Theatre. Everyone says you say theatre weirdly when I say theatre.
Yeah, that's quite weird. But the only other person I know who says it like you is now a successful playwright.
Ian McKellen.
No, Lucy Kirkwood, who wrote China America. She says it like that. No, theatre, surely.
Theatre, that's what I'm saying.
You're saying theatre.
Theatre, what's the saying? What's the difference between it?
You're saying it like Walls Vianetta rather than Walls Vieta.
I prefer my way.
Okay. I like theatre when it's intimate. I think as soon as it gets, bigger to try and sell tickets so they can make some money, it becomes pointless being in the same room. The whole excitement is being in the same room. I'm a big fan of, stuff that's in the round or, intimate little studio spaces.
Well, one of the things I really enjoy, I saw The Woman in Black.
Yeah.
Which was at an old theatre, in this old place they do plays in.
Yeah. Playhouse.
And it was written about, so it was set there as well.
Yeah.
Whereas the film loses all that.
Yeah.
And also because Daniel Radcliffe is essentially a child who's had a 7-year-old child.
Yes. It doesn't quite make sense.
And also but... is a load of shit.
Oh, Daniel Radcliffe. I've queued behind him.
Have you?
For a coffee.
I was going to say, not for a bus.
He's a tiny man. Tiny man. Very polite, though, to the staff.
Yeah, he sounds nice. The wrong thing is, we talked about this before, he's like an accountant. But he's been picked up to be an actor, so he's got a muscly body, doesn't fit his face.
Well, poor lad.
He'd probably be able to beat me up one of these days.
Well, certainly could pay someone to. Yeah. But theatre. Woman in Black's good. Especially because there's the whole thing of you have to actually see her in person to, and that means the curse has been carried on. So there's just something scary about that idea when it's live. Anyway, films from plays. Woman in Black I thought was all right as an adaptation. I reviewed that with Ruth Bratt. I thought that was okay. What do I like? There's all the Shakespeare's. Amadeus.
Okay.
That was a play first, and I think the film's very good. F. Murray Abraham is
brilliant. Oscar winning, isn't it?
Yeah. He plays Salieri, the jealous man who's not as good as Mozart. Hedwig and the Angry Inch is a one-person show with a band that is a fantastic musical movie.
My favourite adaptation is Glengarry Glen Ross. Which has got, it's just a masterclass in acting. Sort of Al Pacino, I think Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Loads of people.
Is Kevin Spacey in that?
I think he might be.
I get confused between Glengarry Glen Ross and some of the scenes in Wall Street.
Oh, Glengarry Glen Ross is so much better than Wall Street. I'm looking up now to find all the people who are in it.
Do it. A Few Good Men. That was a play, Aaron Sorkin play. That's quite a fun film.
The problem is what did I start? I started watching Carnage, which is the Christopher Waltz or
Christoph Waltz.
Waltz.
Jodie Foster.
And Kate Winslet and the bloke from other stuff. And that felt like, I'm sure it must be based on a play. It felt so much like a play because it was based in one apartment.
Yeah, but you can get really good films set in one apartment. Yeah. Saw, for instance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because adaptations of books, they add so much depth that the the person who's written the screenplay is able to trade off and, you know, pick the best bits and do shorthand, but there's a lot of preparation that's been done for them. But often the play has done as much as the screenplay.
Yeah.
And they're just sort of cherry-picking lines and
it always
stuff.
Seems to me stuck...
Or changing locations. Often.
It seems stuck in the same location. Too many of them just feel that this will be... trapped in this location, which is unrealistic. For example, Carnage, or whatever it was called. Was it
Carnage, yeah.
Being a prime example of just feels confined to this location because it's a play.
Yeah.
And it screams it out to me, and I don't like the theatre, however you say it, so it puts me off.
Did you ever go down the producer's hole of seeing...
Hang on a minute, is this a casting reference?
No. The producers, Mel Brooks' film, fantastic
film. Oh,
okay,
film, yeah.
That they then made a stage musical of, that they then adapted to be a film version of the musical. And it was like photocopying a poor picture, where it would just get worse every time. But what was fascinating in terms of that lack of imagination of what you can do with it from the stage to the screen is that all of the dance routines and, you know, choreography was exactly the same in the film of the musical as the stage musical, and it was all shot from one side.
Okay.
As if you were watching it through a box, because they didn't have the imagination to reimagine this choreography in 3D.
Mm.
You know, it was so lazy and terrible. Whereas the original film is wonderful.
Did you know you can photocopy a photocopy of Maureen Lipman 1,000 times?
Yeah.
And you'll still recognise it as her.
Wow. But that only is, her?
Yeah.
Such a recognisable woman.
That is a lie.
Is that? All right, okay.
There'll probably be at least one. Anyway, your internet stopped working, so I can't find out who was Glenn Ross.
According to this, Child's Play was a play.
Now, I said I really like Little Shop of Horrors, but you said that was a film, then became a musical, then became...
Little Shop of Horrors was a black and white film, not a musical, starring Jack Nicholson, like, decades and decades ago. I don't know the full history, but I think the stage musical was an adaptation of that film. And then, again, like the producers, then got turned into a brilliant film of the... Not like the producers in that respect. Got turned into a film of the stage musical.
Well, this leads us quite nicely onto the film I went to see.
Uh-huh.
Which is a film about a film. It's called Saving Mr. Banks.
Yes.
It stars Tom Hanks as Walt Disney and Emma Thompson as P.L. Travers, who is the author of Mary Poppins. And the story is Walt Disney has promised his daughters that he'll eventually make Mary Poppins into a film. He's already successful and he's got his big, you know, Disneyland, and he's a big sort of proven the biggest person in the world. This is before Nelson Mandela and all that stuff,
obviously. Yeah.
So he's invited, P.L. Travers is sort of running out of money, so agent says you have to go to America and meet him. And Walt Disney cannot make the film until P.L. Travers grants him the rights, which she will only do if she approves of the script.
Right.
Now, we had an email the other week about talking about films about films.
Yes.
What films talk about films. This is a really surprised, great film.
Oh, really?
About films. I saw the trailer for this 3 or 4 times, and I thought, there's one thing I'm not going to do is going to watch that film. I went to cinema in the afternoon with my friend, and it was during, with loads of school kids about, and they were showing The Hunger Games and Frozen, and all. And I thought, what can we see that there's definitely going to be no children at?
Yeah, that.
Yeah. So this, it is fascinating, because it's based on a true story, and it follows P.L. Travers. There's two stories that are running parallel with each other, which is her growing up, because she's Australian originally, growing up with her father, who is a banker and an alcoholic, and how she deals with that, and how her family sort of gradually breaks down. And it transforms how you see Mary Poppins.
Really?
It's incredible. And it's really it's interesting to have a film everyone's seen. So Mary Poppins is a film that we all associate with Christmas, most people have seen bits of it or are familiar with the songs.
Yeah.
And it manages to alter what you think of Mary Poppins. And because what would you say Mary Poppins is a story about?
Oh, God. It's about the father, Mr. Banks, isn't it? I mean, I've been given a clue by the title of the film.
So a lot of people think it's about Mary Poppins, but essentially it's about...
It's about Mr. Banks becoming a good father.
Yeah, that is the key thing, and that's all related to her... I didn't see it as that until this film. I just thought, oh, here's a nanny came. It's just
it's about a magic nanny.
Yeah, and about someone who has a terrible accent. But it is about... when it's related to her father and his alcoholic problems... how she sort of retold the story, and her aunt is her mother's sister who comes to sort of sort things out, who is Mary, what Mary Poppins is based on.
So is the title Saving Mr. Banks dual meaning, as in the film of Mary Poppins is about saving Mr. Banks, as in from himself or whatever, but it's also Walt Disney wants to cut the character of Mr. Banks?
No, she doesn't think Walt Disney understands it.
Right.
And she thinks... Walt Disney thinks it's a film about all these, you know, he wants to turn it into what Disneyfy her personal story.
Right.
Which she is really against. It has, and then this year, I think we're seeing the good films now come out. I think I've seen some spectacular performances by women that are for going for the Oscars, and not many by men. Mm. I say the only person, Tom Hanks has done it again in Captain Phillips, he was excellent as Walt Disney. He's excellent.
He's very good. You always forget.
Yeah, you just take it for granted. Yeah, that Tom Hanks is you just think, oh, it's Tom Hanks doing his Tom Hanks-y big thing. In your my mind, it's somehow stuck on the fact he's just running down a giant keyboard doing his Tom Hanks-y stuff. But he's really great in this, and Emma Thompson is sublime.
She's excellent.
Yeah, and it's really nice to see a character-driven piece to. Great actors just talking to each other with a great supporting cast. The guy from Rushmore is in it.
Jason Schwartzman. Yes,
as the two writers who write the music to Mary Poppins. I can't remember their names, but my IMDb's down. And she sort of doesn't like their songs like A Spoonful of Sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
She disapproves of all these things. She's quite difficult, and she made them tape everything. And at the end, there's not in the credits. They actually play. The tapes that of her talking, which I don't think is not really a spoiler, but of her, so it's based on her. She demanded everything, and you hear the actual P.L. Travers talking about all the changes she once made. It is not a film that you would. I understand how you think it was aimed at, you know, grandparents and that sort of the Grey Pound. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great film. About films that changes how you look at an existing film, and you've got two great performances, and Emma Thompson's just plays the character cold and unlikable, but then again I sympathise with her, maybe because of our background and working with people on TV, and most people who work on TV, I'll say this, hopefully someone listening, you're total arseholes without a creative bone in their body, who have to go through that route of trying to organise things and generally ruin things, which I have directly experienced. So I sympathise.
I think it's in all professions that you get these management types who feel their job is to assert their management rather than acquiesce to the wishes of people who know better than them.
But I think in this is an exception, because she's got these what they did to Mary Poppins is a good film, and the music in it is it's the credit of the fact that we still, you know, all the songs off by heart.
Yeah,
masterpieces in terms of, like,
well, films are collaborative projects and there won't be any great film that hasn't been so, but that means that any one person trying to throw their weight about when they're untalented can really send it down the tubes quickly. Yeah. Oh, same with any creative project, I guess. How many Marics would you give it?
A high 8.
A high 8? We're going decimal, you're suggesting.
No, 8. I was really surprised by this, and it's refreshing to see a new sort of film.
Yes.
It's a new style of... It's a film about... Well, it's a film about film.
Yeah.
but I thought the way they did it was very interesting. It felt...
Is it about their relationship, essentially?
It's about their relationship. It's about, I preferred it when Tom Hanks and Emma Thompson was on screen rather than the story with Colin Farrell plays her dad in he's all right in it.
Colin Farrell's Emma Thompson's dad?
In the flashbacks.
Oh, thank God. Right.
Yeah.
I thought he was doing a Guy Pearce in Prometheus.
No.
I'm so old.
That's the same as your Bane impression.
I was born in the dark. Yeah.
He
was born in a duck, apparently.
It's a good film. Well done.
Well done, everybody. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, I guess.
I want to give Film Fandango money.
Right. Well,
because
you're in
I
luck.
Know that these guys do this every week, and it costs over £18 billion to make.
It is true. And
how do I donate to myself?
If like Marek, you'd like to donate to the running costs of Film Fandango, then you can go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the link from there. And any donation is greatly appreciated. As Marek says, we do all this for free. And everyone who has donated already, and there's a fair few of you, thank you very, very much.
Thank you for helping us. All right, then.
We'll be back next week with our Christmas episode.
Keep
watching
the films.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.